All right, welcome to The Real Big Show. My name is Michael Petrelli, your host for this special night of Slow Jams. I'm joined by one half of the wonderful Girls on Film podcast, Melissa Hansen. Mel, thanks for joining us.
So happy to be here. Thank you.
And my Sancho Panza, or should I call him my Sancho Picking Brainza, Mr. Tusk himself, Brad Slayton. What's up, dude?
How are we doing?
Not bad, not bad. It's time to grab a Lowenbrow and a Fribble Shake from Friendly's and chat up a little bit with you guys. So let's delve right into the smooth sounds of your favorite podcast crew as we break down this week's Golden Globes, the snubs, the show, and ultimately who we think will bring home that trophy which says, yes, I'm somebody to the foreign press. So let's begin with the movie portion. So, guys, I was looking at the nominees for the movie section, and there seems to be a pretty diverse group of films up for Best Picture Drama, as well as musical and comedy. So we're looking at, let's see.
I got them all, too, if you need.
Yeah, I was trying to get into, I'm trying to figure out which one I want to dive into first. We'll go with drama first. So you're looking at Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Imitation Game, Selma, and The Theory of Everything. So what are your thoughts on the nominees for drama, Mel?
Obviously, a really fantastic list. I've only seen one of them on here, however. Boyhood has got amazing accolades. Everyone is very excited about it. Just became available on demand today through some cable providers. Foxcatcher, also heard really, really good things about that. Imitation Game, that's the one I saw. That was also really, really good. Selma has gotten fantastic reviews and is also just one of those like poignant, perfect timing sort of movies. And then The Theory of Everything, Liz actually went to a Q&A, I believe, on Monday. So we're going to get her stuff going on because she was there for, I believe, the actor and director were there. So that is also just got amazing accolades. So it seems like an extremely strong group here. And the great thing about the Golden Globes is that it does break it out by like drama, musical, or comedy and stuff. So there's so many more films that get a chance at the like best most picture kind of docket rather than the Oscars.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll mention the best picture musical comedy too. You're looking at Into the Woods, Birdman, Grand Budapest Hotel, St. Vincent, and Pride. These 10 films are obviously some of the best films that we've seen this year, but I have to wonder if you could replace one film on the list and replace it with something else. First off, would you? And second off, which film would you switch? And I'll ask Brad the same question too.
Yeah. I mean, my first quick thought is to say Into the Woods just because it's not really my kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, I honestly think I would say St. Vincent, even though it was a good movie. It really was. And Bill Murray was fantastic in it. It was really sort of a story we've heard 1,000 times before.
Right.
And it really wasn't done in a fantastic sort of a way. So I think probably one of the reasons that it was even putting it up here is because of Bill Murray. I mean, even Melissa McCarthy was really good in it. So that's probably why they were, you know, it was inserted, but I would definitely replace St. Vincent, I would have to say.
Okay. Who would you replace it with? Any nominees for you?
You know, that's kind of tough. I mean, you have to speak, you know, to musical or comedy. I mean, obviously I really love Grand Budapest Hotel. Very happy with that decision of it being in there. But, no, I couldn't say off the top of my head a comedy that I can think of.
Okay. Brad, I'm not sure how many of these top 10 films you've seen this year, but I'm pretty sure you've seen a few.
Yeah, I've actually seen a good amount drama-wise. I haven't seen Theory of Everything yet, and I haven't seen Imitation Game. I actually saw Selma earlier in the week. Selma, I loved. I mean, out of those movies that are that I've seen of Best Picture, I'd put Selma as the winner, which is totally out of category for me, usually.
Right.
But comedy, I mean, Into the Woods would have to go for comedy, like, as an out.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't see how any of those that are nominated are going to come close to Birdman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you on that, because Birdman and Grand Budapest Hotel seem to be the 1-2 punch in the musical comedy era. And I'm kind of, I was a little surprised by The Pride. It did get some accolades from the independent press, but it wasn't a crowd pleaser, let's put it that way. So I was kind of surprised by that. And I was surprised by Into the Woods as well. I was lucky enough to see pretty much almost every one of these films. The only one I haven't seen is Selma. And I'm glad Brad said that it was good, because I'm looking forward to seeing it. I actually saw Inherent Vice last night instead of seeing Selma, but now I'm kind of wondering if I should have.
No, Inherent Vice is amazing.
No, it is amazing. It is amazing, but I really wanted to see it before I talked about this. For me, funny enough, I would remove Foxcatcher from drama and replace it with Interstellar. That's just me, because I feel I lived through the Foxcatcher, and in my review for Real News Daily, we delve into a little bit of the reasons why I felt it was just basically an average film. And funny enough, for musical comedy, I would remove Into the Woods as well, and I would replace it with Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that it's a film that is getting accolades for screenplay, and it was just a real big crowd pleaser this year. I think it would deserve something like a Golden Globe nomination, not an Oscar, but Golden Globe seems to be something that's more of like a second tier type of award show. And given the fact that they have basically two categories for Best Picture, I think it would have been a fun little thing to kind of give it a push in there. But not to win, I just think it would have been fun to have it in there.
I was really kind of shocked, you know, out of those two. I don't know where it would go, because it's not a straight-up comedy or a straight-up drama, but Big Eyes. I was extremely wild by Big Eyes, showing that Tim Burton can still direct a film, you know, and I'm kind of shocked it didn't find a place in either category.
It's true. I've heard very many good things about the film, and it's one of the films that I've been looking forward to. Do either one of you surprised that Unbroken got shut out completely?
I guess there's been a lot of push for it near Christmas. If I think about it, I haven't really seen it as far as like, oh, you know, up for best or whatever. It's mostly just an audience pleaser, it seems like. So I guess in that way, no, I guess I wouldn't necessarily be surprised.
What about American Sniper?
I'm shocked by that one. That's
also a crowd pleaser. I don't know if I haven't seen the movie, but I've heard it really leaves people moved. So yeah,
it's amazing. I found it amazing. Like, it's a Clint Eastwood picture, which always seems to either win an Oscar or get nominated, you know?
And it seems to be one of those films which follows the pattern, like The Hurt Locker. These films, they make a push during this Oscar season, Golden Globe season, and they find a place within the nominees because of the subject matter. So I think the story itself, but I've heard, I'm seeing it tomorrow, so I can't really talk to the story, but I have heard that there's been some questions about the subject. So that would be something, I guess, that maybe made people shy away from it, maybe.
Well, and honestly, I mean, because the Golden Globe nominations came out in the, you know, like the early December. I don't know if this movie was even sent to people, because whenever I was at New York Film Festival, you know, they were talking about American Sniper being one of the secret screenings, And from what I could hear from other people, the reason it wasn't was because it wasn't even finished yet. Hmm. Like, as far as like they hadn't decided on the final cut.
Interesting.
So it could be that it just didn't even get in there.
Interesting. Well, we'll see that if it gets, if it makes a push towards the Oscar season, mm-hmm. we'll have a better idea. So there, are there any surprises in the best actors categories that caught your eye? Could either one of you?
I mean, not necessarily a surprise, but very happy to see Jake Gyllenhaal in there.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Nightcrawler, but I've heard fantastic things about it. I really want to see it. He's not necessarily out of place in that. But it is sort of like, oh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Right. Well, it could be a nominee or maybe a blatant omission. Either one in the. I'm just looking at the best, just in the actors themselves, you know, you have a pretty, I mean, you mentioned Big Eyes, and I'm glad you brought that up, Brad, because I did think it was a good film as well. That musical comedy is like a who's who. Michael Keaton, Bill Murray, Ralph Fiennes, Christoph Waltz, Joaquin Phoenix. I mean, that's a pretty amazing list there. I mean, and then you look at the best actors in a drama. Eddie Redmayne, Steve Carell, Benedict Cumberbatch, David Oyelowo, and Jake Gyllenhaal. These are more less seasoned actors, so it kind of adds a little bit of intrigue to see maybe who gets the first shot at this new award for them. But I look at it, I would have to think that Cumberbatch would be the clear front runner. I mean, do you guys agree?
I would probably have to agree. Yeah.
I would have to say Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, just performance. I mean, he's had so many performances from Donnie Darko, Brokeback Mountain. I mean, I think with Nightcrawler, he's becoming this generation's De Niro.
That's a pretty bold statement, but I have to say that I did think De Niro when I did see the film.
I mean, he's becoming just a chameleon, like how De Niro was when he'd put on weight for Raging Bull and then lose weight for, you know, something like Mean Streets, and, you know, would go to the lengths of Taxi Driver. Like, Gyllenhaal's becoming that fearless actor of the generation that just doesn't care.
But De Niro would never have done Prince of Persia.
The one that I know he would not get nominated, but I was really surprised by, and I guess, you know, the way you're viewed in the public, like if you're a perceived asshole, you wouldn't get a nomination, but was Michael Pitt in I, Origins. I thought he was amazing in I, Origins, which is an independent film, yes. But it dove into some really heady scientific stuff about creationism and everything else. And,
right.
I mean, he's labeled as an ass, but he was amazing in that film.
Yeah, I was going to mention Bradley Cooper, but I think we've gotten into this already about American Sniper maybe not being available to the public. But also, McConaughey. I mean, his performance in Interstellar was fantastic.
I think he's almost McConaughey'd out.
Yeah, he may have pushed himself a little far with these last couple of years. But is there a dark horse in the dramas? Somebody that could pop up and you say, "Wow, I wouldn't be surprised if he won."
Steve Carell, because he wore a fake nose.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
I still think that Steve Carell played Steve Carell just.
Yeah, without, I haven't seen that. I don't know.
That's how everyone plays themselves when they put a fake nose on, like Nicole Kidman years ago and everyone else. I mean, they put a big fat face or a fake nose or fake ears or whatever.
Yeah, and you win.
Oop, here's an Oscar. It's like, what the hell?
All right, so the big, vast question, who wins the best actor in musical or comedy with that big group?
Wow.
I think we may all have three different answers, too.
I'm going Michael Keaton because that was just an amazing performance.
That's a really good. I would say Michael Keaton. I would agree with that because he's been ramping up for a while.
Yeah.
Like he's done stuff. Like there's been in some, you know, the past couple of years, some movies where he'll pop in with a supporting character, like The Other Guys with, wasn't he freaking hilarious?
Oh, he was hilarious in that. Yes.
He was amazing. And great, you're like, wow, where's Michael Keaton been? You know?
Yeah.
And this is the movie he was in, Birdman, that this is what he was on his way toward. So I think there's probably a big push for him to, you know, to win. And I would be 100% okay with that.
Brad?
No, I'm the same with Michael Keaton.
I feel bad for Ralph Fiennes because he really did have such a great performance in Budapest.
Oh, I know.
And at the beginning of the year, I think pretty much everybody that saw the film could hands down see him winning in an Oscar or winning some sort of award this year. And then Michael Keaton came on the scene and pretty much stole the show with Birdman. So I have to agree. I think we're all in agreement with this. So let's do the same for actors here. Any surprises or any omissions possibly? I mean, you're looking at Julianne Moore for Still Alice, Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, Reese Witherspoon for Wild, Felicity Jones, Theory of Everything, and Jennifer Aniston for Cake for Drama. And then if we switch over to musical comedy, Julianne Moore for Map of the Stars, which I've heard is a really bad movie.
I wouldn't say it was a bad movie. It's just, it's a bad story.
Okay.
See, I don't know. I mean, I'm a Cronenberg fan. Like, he is the end-all, be-all for me, director-wise, pretty much. And, like, I got what he was doing. Like, he didn't do it correctly for, like, a mass movie. Like, if he sold it on his website to fans, you know?
Could have been fun.
But you go into it thinking you're going to watch just a movie, and you're just fucked.
But
like, there's no way that that's happening. And that's what happened to me. I was like, are you fucking serious? I'm like, this was horrible. You know, and then after you get a time to process it, you're like, okay, well, I totally understand what he was doing, but this is not a movie for mass audiences.
It's his thesis statement on his perspective of his career. And it's amazing to a Cronenberg fan. Like, I'd love to meet a Cronenberg fan who hates it.
All right, well, I got two questions in this cast, so let me get through the nominees. Julianne Moore, Amy Adams for Big Eyes, Emily Blunt for Into the Woods, Helen Mirren, who seems to be a staple here, for 100-Foot Journey, and I'm going to mess her name up. I'm sorry. Quiven, we'll just call her Mrs. Wallace for Annie, the young little girl for Annie. So two questions here. Does Julianne Moore benefit from being nominated in both, or do you think they can cancel each other out?
I mean, I think she was better in Still Alice.
Does she have it? When you're thinking of the fact that people vote for these people, and you go down the list, could she be a victim of the fact that her name's on there twice? Or do you think they... Some may say, yeah, she was great in Still Alice, so I'll give her to that, or vice versa. I just wonder when people get nominated in multiple categories, if it's to their benefit or if it's to their demise.
I would say it's to their demise.
I think it puts your name in a few different places, so I'm not sure that – I think I'm in agreement with you. I'm not sure it does any benefit to them.
I mean, obviously, as far as awards go, you know, she can now say she's been nominated in both categories in the same year. That's pretty awesome.
Right.
But as far as somebody voting for her or perception of people voting or, you know, anything, it wouldn't work as well. I've heard amazing things about Still Alice and her performance. And Maps of the Stars, she was.
She's.
Wow, unhinged.
Yeah,
she was unhinged on the level of Kate Blanchett in Blue Jasmine.
Wow. That's bold.
It made me think of, what's her name, for Mommy Dearest?
Oh, my God, Joan Crawford?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Like, Julianne Moore is a national treasure. But my God, I mean, she probably took it had to take more dedication to her craft to do Math of the Stars for some of the things she was asked to do for that film.
So let me ask this question, because I don't think any of us have seen it. Why do you think that Annie would even... Because I've heard really bad things about Annie. So I'm wondering how even it gets a nomination. Is it just the fact that it's a musical and they're trying to maybe get a little bit more musical-y in the category? Or do you think it was a situation where they were looking to get maybe a little bit more ethnic?
I think they just wanted a kid.
You think so?
Honestly, like, they always seem to have a kid in these things lately. I think they just wanted a kid.
I'm going to plead the fifth. Because
I think maybe we should have.
So I'm just going to plead the fifth.
All right. Well, we have best animated features and we have best foreign language features, which are nice, and it gives a chance for films that otherwise have no shot to win anything sometimes. So, but we're not going to really go into those categories tonight. But I have a question to both of you. Is it time for a best independent film category?
Yes.
I would say yes and say no in the same breath. Because doing that would, first of all, what in the world how would you distinguish the two? Would you say, I mean, would it be like, was released in a limited amount of theaters? Or was this put together by a company that, you know, didn't have a major studio backing it? But what is a major studio? There's all kinds of things to define in that.
Right.
But at the same time, they do the same thing with drama or comedy. So, I mean, a lot of people agree with those certain things. So I'm sort of contradicting myself and going back to, actually, yes, that would be a good idea.
Well, I'll look at it this way. I mean, a movie like Birdman, probably when you look at it on the surface, would fit into an independent category. Now, that leads to two questions. I'll just leave it at one. Let's put it that way. You put Birdman in an independent. Does it bubble a certain movie into maybe stereotyping it as indie, and it can't get voted for Best Picture? Or is it good that an indie film gets voted for Best Picture and we don't really need the independent film category? I just think there's films that are missing, and they're a product of the fact that people just wouldn't know it when it got to the award season.
Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, I would have to say you probably need your own awards then.
Well, you know, it's good that we have the Independent Spirit Awards.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, like, that is the answer to the best independent category option. But I really like where your head's at, because the whole point of a lot of and a lot of these movies people haven't probably heard of.
Yeah.
But to even bring it down to that, where they have an option, they can see more movies that are independent. I mean, I don't know if you would even say independent, though. You would have to say something. It would have to be a different sort of a category. I don't know what you would call it.
Well, I want to get into a little bit of the supporting actors and actresses categories. So I have a question that kind of leads into the entire both categories, or four categories, or however you look at it. Some really veteran actors fight it out for the supporting actor. You got Ethan Hawke, Robert Duvall, Ed Norton, J.K. Simmons, Mark Ruffalo, all worthy winners this year. Who comes out on top?
I have to go with J.K. Simmons. That was like a career performance, in my opinion. He was amazing in Whiplash, I thought.
Does Ethan Hawke have any chance of finding a way to win that elusive award at this point?
Is he nominated for Predestination?
Yeah. No, I mean, he was really good in Boyhood. And I think, you know, I think when it comes down to it, I agree with you on J.K. Simmons. He was fantastic. Robert Duvall, for me, was really, really enjoyable in the Judge, but I don't think it's a role to win a Best Supporting Actor. For me, it comes down to Norton, who was effing crazy in Birdman. He was fantastic, one of his best performances, and Ethan Hawke. That's just me.
See, I'd say Edward Norton and J.K. Simmons would be the two that I would
I just felt like I loved Ethan Hawke in Predestination, and that was like the Ethan Hawke, you know, me personally, I love where he actually acts, and I just felt like it, with Boyhood, I was just looking at Ethan Hawke.
Now, going into the Best Supporting Actress, this comes back to my question about the Best Independent Film, because how many fans saw A Most Violent Year in Jessica Chastain's performance is a question that wonder, even with Still Alice, I mean, you can go back to that one as well. But Jessica Chastain for Most Violent Year, Keira Knightley for Imitation Game, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Meryl Streep, the staple, who seems to be this this aura in this category every year, and Emma Stone for Birdman. Really seems like every year there's a front row that goes into the Golden Globes for the Best Supporting Actress. This year it appears that this might be Patricia Arquette that gets that distinction. How do you like her chances against the field of nominees, which really includes, I mean, like I said, the staple Meryl Streep?
I think she has a great shot of winning.
I would be rioting if she didn't win. I mean,
Jessica Chastain, I'm sure, is amazing. I love her. But seriously, I think a Most Violent Year being put in any of this category is cheating, because that movie was opened in like maybe 4 theaters on New Year's Eve.
Right.
Like, seriously, you don't have enough confidence in this movie to put it out any earlier, not even on Christmas. Come on. I mean, I was really hopeful for that movie, and now I just really don't even have any sort of desire to see it because right. of how they've handled their marketing for it.
Yeah, it's a little bit cheesy. I think I would agree with you on that one. So I think we're all in agreement. Patricia Arquette comes home.
Oh, I think so.
Yep, yep. Should be.
So who goes home with the best director? I mean, it's a wide open field with this one. You have Ava DuVernay, excuse me, for Selma, Wes Anderson, Grand Budapest Hotel, Alejandro, why do these people have these? Alejandro for Birdman, David Fincher for Gone Girl, and Richard Linklater for Boyhood. Who takes it?
Oh, Birdman.
Lars Van Trier for Nymphomaniac.
Honorable mention.
It's such a blatant snub. Like, I can't even answer. Quite, I mean, that's hands down for me. But that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I would say Birdman is because I love Wes Anderson. But Wes Anderson does this with every movie. So there's nothing amazing necessarily that he's done with this one specifically. He's just amazing all the time. So that's his downfall. But for Birdman, it took an incredible amount of planning and just, you know, being able to work on the fly. I mean, anybody who's seen this movie, it's basically it comes off as one long take. And yep. to do that right, like it was done right. To do that right had to take an amazing amount of cooperation with every single person involved. And to me, that's what best director would be. But you know, I know Richard Linklater is probably the more of the front runner on this, just because everybody loves Boyhood. So,
yeah. If you didn't hear my coughing, my answer within my cough, it was Richard Linklater. Mm-hmm. So, question about screenplay. We don't really need to get into it, but screenplay always divides people sometimes when it comes to the award season. It's like if a director wrote the film and doesn't win Best Picture, sometimes he wins Best Screenplay. Sometimes if a movie is 1-2 with Best Picture, it will grab a screenplay or Best Picture or vice versa. It's very rare when both win the same category. Do you see screenplay as a 1-2 to director this year more, considering most of the categories kind of mirror each other with Budapest, Gone Girl, Birdman, and Boyhood? Or do you think it's its own category all by itself this year?
Well, I mean, I just really sort of realized this doesn't distinguish between original or adapted. So That's kind of interesting because the Oscars break that out that way.
Yep.
I would have to say Richard Linklater, though, just because, I mean, geez, this movie spanned 12 years. So, I mean, how do you keep a script together like that? Like, just the amazing amount of, well, see, now I'm giving him the best actor accolade. So, or best director, I mean.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ugh. Yeah, I think you're right. It could probably go hand to hand. If whichever one that Richard Linklater doesn't win, he's going to win the other one.
Yeah. I actually looked at this one as I thought Graham Moore really deserved a screenplay for An Imitation Game. Because when it comes to movies this year, I think that's going to be the one that it misses. I think that it's a very good film, and Cumberbatch has a really good shot at winning the best actor. I think the film is kind of really in there as a film that could win, but it's probably not going to, and it really deserves something. And I think that it might be the consolation prize this year for Imitation Game to win screenplay. Just my two thoughts. But what do I know? All right, well, quickly, let's get into the TV just a tad, because it's too wide open. Here's my problem that I have with the TV, and I'll ask you, similar to movie section, best TV drama. Is this a field that has good representation of what is best on TV right now? And if so, that you don't believe it is, and you could remove one or two shows from the list and replace it, what would you pick? Again,
this is tough. Sorry, go ahead. What?
Yeah, I was going to say the nominees are Downton Abbey, The Affair, Game of Thrones, House of Cards, and The Good Wife.
Well, I've seen most of these. I only seen parts of an episode of The Good Wife, but Downton Abbey, you know, period drama, does it very well. The Affair is a little too, sexualized for me. Not really. I wasn't really a fan of that.
Okay.
Game of Thrones, I could say the same thing about, but I love.
Yeah.
It has just so many other elements. House of Cards, obviously the most fantastic one of the bunch, and it will win. And The Good Wife, which has probably, I think it's been nominated probably multiple times, I'm sure.
Every year, I think, actually.
Yeah. I would have to say I would replace The Affair. And, maybe The Fall. I love The Fall, but that's a Netflix only, and I guess that it would be considered now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Because House of Cards is Netflix only.
Yeah. Brad?
I would have to take out Downton Abbey and The Good Wife.
Downton. No W in there. And I know it's on purpose.
Blah, blah. We broke away from England years ago, people. Anyways, I would put two shows that deserve it. Now, these award shows have years and years and years of giving shows and awards to shows that have ended that don't deserve the awards. Breaking Bad, all these other shows. There is no Boardwalk Empire representation.
Exactly.
And that is just a crime. And then I would put a show that I think would win, and I consider personally the best drama on TV, and that's Hannibal.
Oh, man, that's great.
No, there are zero Hannibal nominations, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
So those are the two I would do. I would watch Hannibal Lecter over some British 1800 people or whatever generation they're from.
Now, if you notice, every year, and if you go back and check this out, I'm probably right. Every year Showtime debuts a show, that show winds up nominated for best drama in a TV series. From Ray Donovan.
Boy, they seem really lucky.
Isn't that amazing?
or they have a direct deposit into the foreign press.
So here's how I'm going to fix their problem. The Affair is out. I would put Penny Dreadful in as Showtime's representation of the best drama on TV. I would also probably take out The Good Wife and replace it with Boardwalk Empire, as Brad said, because this probably was the best return to form for a TV show that was kind of going downhill. Boardwalk Empire really went out on top, and that's very rare these years. And just on a side note, I haven't finished it yet. I'm actually like four episodes before the end, but I find it kind of odd that this Golden Globes used to be in love with Sons of Anarchy. It's a shame that the show season seven on its way out the door didn't at least get one last nod. I found that kind of odd. So that's just me.
And for your perspective, Michael, the biggest draw on TV being The Walking Dead, how is there not a single nomination?
Well, I think the show has gotten to the point where it's divided critics in believing whether it's the best show on TV or if it's just the most popular show on TV. So I think that there's a lot of better dramas on TV than The Walking Dead. For me, I mean, I'm a big, huge fan of The Walking Dead, and I love watching it. I wouldn't necessarily say it's the best drama on TV, but for me, it's the best show on TV, I guess you would say. But
it makes people cry, though. You know, like if it can move millions of people to cry, that's a pretty damn good drama.
Millions and millions of people.
A Kodak commercial can move me to cry, so I don't know if that necessarily.
All right,
so that's an old reference.
Kodak moment. Is this a 1 hour photo?
Oh, God. That's a good movie, though.
All right, so Word on the Street is Orange is the New Black versus Girls for the best TV, music, series, or comedy. Which of these five takes the trophy for you? And we have Orange is the New Black, you have Girls, Jane the Virgin, Transparent, and my favorite, Silicon Valley.
I don't know if it'd win, but I'd say Silicon Valley. Just because it's different.
Yeah, I echo y'all's sentiments, but I'm hurt by the fact that BoJack Horseman isn't nominated.
Oh, my God, it totally should be.
But, I mean, they love House of Cards and everything else, and I honestly didn't laugh at anything more this year than BoJack Horseman.
Totally 1,000% you know? Agree.
And I have
I love
to
this. I tell every single person I know, and every single person looks at me like I'm insane when I say BoJack Horseman, but I'm like, I've said it so many times that it sounds so normal to me now.
Wouldn't you love to see a horse accept an award?
Oh my God, it'd be amazing.
Now, I did say that this, I actually agree with you guys. I actually thought that this should be one of the nominations. But I was thinking about this. I think the last show that got nominated, animated show, that was Futurama for comedy. So it's been a while. So I think, yeah, why not the fucking horse? Jesus.
Or South Park, for Christ's sake. I mean, they're 18 years in or 19 years in, and I don't know if they've ever been nominated, yet they touch on every social and political topic possible.
Well, I still don't want to go on record as saying the Community is getting, again, denied. Which it's good to see that the Big Bang Theory isn't on here for a umpteenth and Modern Family and all the other shows that always make it. I haven't seen Jane the Virgin, but actually it's gotten great reviews. So it's doing something right, but I would definitely.
And Transparent, if anybody hasn't seen that, it's not that bad. It's I think it's going to be one of those slow burner type series that will be like really amazing when you end the show. But it would take the entire series to watch to really say that. Hmm. So just watching like two or three is nobody's going to be really be impressed.
Right.
But that's a show on Amazon that's really good.
All right. So I love the best actors in a drama section. Kevin Spacey, Kevin Klein, James Spader, Dominic West, and Liev Schreiber. That's an amazing list. Who has the edge here?
You know, for me, just as a fan, Liv Schreiber is amazing in Ray Donovan, but I don't think enough people watch it, sadly.
Right. Spader's fantastic in The Blacklist. I mean, And so is Kevin Spacey. And I just saw The Nick a couple times, and Klein's great. Clive's great. I mean, in this category, those three, and I don't watch Ray Donovan anymore, but when I did, I agree with you. Liev Schreiber was really good. I would have to go with Spader on this one. I think I know who Mel's picking, but.
Who do you think I'm picking?
Spacey.
Yes.
Yes. And he's great, and I can't deny that. He's fantastic. Did he win last year? I can't remember. No, it was Cranston for Breaking Bad.
Right. Oh, he better win this year.
So you're probably right. It'll probably be Spacey this year. But Spader is definitely a second tier. Actually, he's 1A, I think, with this category.
I think he just suffers from such a generic, convoluted network show.
Well, season one was far and away better than the first half of season two. So I think he had a better chance last year if Breaking Bad didn't fucking end. But I think, you know, I'm leaning towards Spacey, but I would like to see Spader. So the question about actresses, so I looked at the categories. So you have drama and comedy, and I have a little bit of a problem. Both categories, three mainstays and two newcomers. Let's go down the list. Viola Davis for drama, for How to Get Away with Murder. Claire Danes for Homeland, staple. Julianne Margolis, Good Wife, staple. Robin Wright for House of Cards, staple. Ruth Wilson for The Affair. And then musical or comedy, Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep, staple. Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie, another staple. Gina Rodriguez for Jane the Virgin. Lena Dunham for Girls, staple. And Taylor Schilling for Orange is the New Black. Now, we all know there's a lot of great actresses out there. So the question I have is it time to branch out of these nominees, or are these actresses just that good?
Well, I mean, first of all, I just want to say that it's really awesome to see how many women of a slight advance in age are nominated. I think that's pretty amazing.
Yes, definitely.
Because there's been a lot of call or a lot of talk about, you know, like not as many roles for aging women. And clearly there's getting to be more and more because there's so many here. But yeah, I mean, I guess this Jane the Virgin must be good or something because it's, you know, nominated in two categories or maybe even more. No, but
next week we're gonna hear from Melissa. That show is awesome.
I know. Oh my goodness.
That's my best show on TV.
But I mean, what was the question again? I guess I got mixed up.
Is it time to kind of maybe mix it up a little bit since there's literally three mainstays every year? Or are they just that good? I mean, is Julianne Margolis that good? Is Claire Danes, which I really don't think she's that good, but
she's great in Homeland.
See, here's we can have a whole conversation about Homeland, but we won't. I mean, these three actresses are great in their roles, but is it every year? I mean, honestly,
did Jerry Seinfeld get nominated every single year for Seinfeld?
I don't think he did. Actually,
I don't think he got nominated once.
Wow. Never mind. I'll shut up.
I'm just, like I said, I there's a lot of wonderful actresses on TV right now. And I just wonder if maybe sometimes it gets a little bit stale. Because I look at it's almost ho-hum for me when I see these nominations sometimes, especially for TV, because you just look at it and you go, yeah, I pretty much can figure this out. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Edie Falco, and Lena Dunham will constantly be in there for musical, and maybe a couple of newcomers here or there. It's like a sprinkle, but one of them is going to win.
Yeah.
I'm just asking you. Can we get a few little diversions here, people? Jesus.
Yeah, you've proved your point. Although Claire Danes and Edie Falco would be my choices.
All righty. All right, so let's wrap this up a little bit. So when I look at the category for miniseries / TV movie, I can't help but wonder if this is a makeup for last year's True Detective loss to Breaking Bad. Does the field really stand a chance at this year? I mean, it is going to pretty much run away with it, isn't it?
So was True Detective it wasn't under TV movie last year?
No, it was not. It was under Best Drama.
So really? Why is it back this year?
That's the question everyone's asking. You have Oliver Kitteridge, Fargo, The Missing, The Normal Heart and True Detective for best movie or miniseries. And then I'll ask the question, you have Woody Harrelson and McConaughey going up against each other for actor. Who do they give it to?
Billy Bob Thornton for Fargo, damn it.
Yes.
No chance.
Because my problem, I absolutely adore True Detective. Don't get me wrong. But I view that as more of an ensemble piece. Woody couldn't exist without Matthew, yada, yada. I would give it best series. But Billy Bob Thornton was just Fargo's one of my favorites. And I watch that thing, I'm like, oh, this is going to suck, you know? But he was a force of nature. I mean, I don't know. McConaughey, if McConaughey had been coming off of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, you know, years ago and done this, then yeah, McConaughey. But he's been doing the same. Yeah, he's skinny Matthew McConaughey. You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing about this category is that two actors were nominated for the same series twice in here. Twice.
Yeah.
So you've only got three miniseries / TV movies represented rather than five like it normally is.
Yeah.
Not to discount any performances, but I would imagine you would pick Billy Bob Thornton over Martin Freeman. Not that I don't love him, but I do. You know, Billy Bob definitely, but I agree with Brad about Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. They work magically together, and there's no way you could choose one without the other, which is why they're probably both on here. But to put Billy Bob and Martin together, like, that just doesn't seem right necessarily. I think they could have lost Martin Freeman out of there.
Well, I think they went with Colin Hanks for Best Supporting Actor for Fargo. But that's usually the kiss of death. And that's the thing that wonders me about True Detective and Fargo is usually when two shows or two movies, actors pit themselves against each other in a category, they usually cancel themselves out, which would leave Mark Ruffalo for The Normal Heart.
Oh my God. What is with that movie? What does everybody love? I mean, it just looked really just not to me. I just didn't see any sort of like amazing thing about it. It just seemed like too much of a happy, not happy, but.
Yeah. Wasn't that the one with Harmon's favorite actress in it?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
he loves Julia Roberts.
I didn't know she was in that.
All right, so.
I just know Mr. Kitch was, that's all.
Flash round. I'm going to ask you about these miniseries, TV movies, and you guys name your winner. So, all right, so we'll start with I think we've already answered True Detective.
No, yeah. Because it's bullshit.
You know, I would have to say Fargo over True Detective, honestly. Okay.
Yeah.
Best actress, Jessica Lange for Freak Show, Maggie Gyllenhaal for The Honorable Woman, Frances McDormand for Oliver Kitteridge, Alison Tolman for Fargo, and Frances O'Connor for The Missing.
Jessica Lange.
I'm going Maggie Gyllenhaal.
I'm going to go with Jessica Lange. All right. Best actor in a movie, Martin Freeman, Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson, Billy Bob Thornton, and Mark Ruffalo.
Billy Bob.
I'm going Billy Bob, but I admire Woody the most for his scenes with Alexandria Daddario.
I'm going Matthew McConaughey. It's got to be the makeup for him. I mean, honestly, I think they were slam dunk for last year, and he got, like, I think Cranston was really surprised when he walked up on, he was like, what? Really? All right. Awesome. All right. Best supporting actress, Kathy Bates for Freak Show, Uzo Aduba for Orange is the New Black, Joanne Froggatt for Downton Abbey. Obviously, only the second nomination for Downton Abbey. Kind of weird. Michelle Monaghan for True Detective and Allison Janney for Mom.
I'm going Kathy Bates with a beard.
Yeah, I'm going for Kathy Bates as well.
I'm going to take Kathy Bates as well. All right, and the last one, best supporting actor in a miniseries, Bill Murray, Oliver Kitteridge, John Voight for Ray Donovan, Matt Bonner for Normal Heart, Alan Cumming for The Good Wife, and Colin Hanks for Fargo.
John Voight.
I love John Voight as well.
Colin Hanks.
Last question. Are you guys watching this year?
No.
Of course.
I'm watching too. Why not? It's award season.
Actually, you know, let's tweet it.
We're going to live tweet it.
Tweet along with us, everybody.
Let's tweet. So we're going to make it, what, let's say, RND Globes.
Ooh, I like it.
Hashtag RND Globes. We'll be hashtagging and tweeting and Twittering and all the twatty things that we do on Twitter. Well, that is all we have for tonight, and I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about next week. As the first big award show of the season sets the pace for the Oscars, I'll be back next week. Hopefully, these two will be back as well for Melissa, Bradley,
yes, thank you.
Myself, Liz, and Jeremy, who are out representing in the real world. We will see you next week. Make sure you read realnewsdaily.com. Check out all the news and reviews every week. Tweet us on Facebook. You can like us, and we'll see you next week. We're out. Peace.